interrumpo.
Manotick, my name's William.
Hello,
hi, everybody. First and foremost, I want to thank God for being gracious enough to allow me to make roll call this morning. And in all his mercy, the 2 hours and 15 minutes that I've been up, I've not had the desire to shoot any dope for now. That was an understatement. He's a little nervous. I checked to make sure the table wasn't shaking. And I'm extremely nervous. But look, I got to be real, real honest. And boy, God is really good to me. Look, I've been wanting to do this. This is the second time I've had the opportunity to do this. So I want to become a professional NA speaker. God say, here you go, William, try this eighth tradition and get humble enough to let all these people know that you are not going to be a professional, but you can do some service work. So I had to look at it. Gee, me nutty. That was a shot of humility. And I didn't want to do that. I was talking to one of my friends that, you know what, first, I got two sponsees in the room. My wife, one of her sponsees, and my best friend. I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. For real. I am. And I had to say that. But look, put on my new glasses. I'm almost 50 now, so I got a pair the other day. They got bifocals in them. Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever, forever non-professional. They call my shot. I am not going to be a professional speaker. But our service centers may employ special workers, so I can do this to stay clean. Right? And then did some studying. That's what they say. Traditionally, people that's done this before me, tradition, over and over and over again, that's why it works. See, don't change it, William. It works because it's a tradition. This is what we've done. We've never hired professional speakers. I'm looking at it and it say, I have to be humble. I have to go by the book. I have to remember what the person before me said about the eighth tradition and not make anything up. My friend said, you're going with all them books and stuff. What are you going to do? This is so nobody can argue with what I say. Go to the book, right? I mean, it's here, everything here. We don't sell recovery. We share it freely with others in a spirit of love and gratitude. They say I had to be grateful that I wasn't going to be a professional. And I want to sell myself so bad. I want to sell myself instead of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Could you imagine what we would be like without an eighth tradition? Could you imagine? Woo, it is scary to think that I'm going to be a professional and try to keep that. Look, I'm talking about a person that only thing I could show people is once you get the vein, leave the spike in. See, you can't use diabetes, but leave the spike in and wrap it up so you won't have to keep poking holes. Now, this is my story. It talks about the only way The only way that I can serve the program of Narcotics Anonymous is remember my own story. Remember the fact that I am not a professional at anything. I'm not, look. It's some hard work for me. I work in the disabilities field. And I fit right in. I love my job. I love my job. I fit right in. You know, you hear people talk about where the misfits fit. I mean, man, I got some clients that's out there that's out there. But I fit right in. But that ain't the thing. The thing is that I feel like I'm helping them, that I'm doing something. And after doing some step work around here and working on these traditions, I found out that I couldn't take what I do at home or what I do at work home to try to fix everything there. I had to find out that I can't take everything that I do home in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and think I can fix my sponsees. Boy, did my sponsees give me a lesson last year. I was having step and tradition meetings, and I would set up the dates, and everybody would come over, and we would have the coffee and the donuts, and we would do studying, and da 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 da. And I set it up one Sunday, ain't nobody show up. One guy showed up. There you go, yeah, one guy showed up. Right? I haven't had one since. You all do it. But I thought I was supposed to fix. Again, I wanted to be a professional sponsor. I wanted to take everything that I thought I knew and fix all my sponsees. It wasn't supposed to go like that. They were supposed to show up. They were supposed to need me. Look, the principles underlying the eighth tradition are eminently practical ones, right? That means that these things stand out. The principles in the eighth tradition stand out. And they're practical here. It says, resulting from or involving experience. I didn't have to fix nothing or arrange nothing or make anything work. All I had to do was go on the experiences that other people had done before me, and it was going to be all right. But I couldn't be, look. After talking about the practical ones, the first thing it says is humility. Be humble. Was that a challenge? Don't they know that I have more time than them? That I've worked the steps more than them? That I have a life, that I have things that I have to do? Did not once stop to find out maybe something happened. And they just couldn't, maybe it was some miscommunication, but I dare try to make myself be humble and not understand. It says prudence to make, this really throws me off, to make sound judgment. Shit. All the time? I can't. Sometimes I'm a little thrown off. You don't believe me? Hide in one of the closets in my house. And watch me run around and try to fix things. And fix me and fix her and fix the children. Can't do it. Not all the time. Sound judgments. It throws me it throws me just a little bit. And I know sometimes I sway a little bit away from the... Hey, she said, William, please go first. I'm not going to speak that long. Would you go first? I said, I'm not going to speak that long either. The eighth tradition ain't but a page and a half. But again, I know I'm going to be jumping around, but it's about my experience. Look, integrity. Integrity. I thought integrity was. I'm the one here. And all it means is that I have to adhere to some standards. I got a lesson in that this morning. They had somebody else's name down as the speaker. I got a letter from here and everything, and they had somebody else's name down, so I went and sat in a chair. The guy said, "Will you wait?" I went and sat in a chair. It's going to be all right. And I waited, and it was almost 9 o'clock, and my wife was pacing the table over there and everything. She said, come on. And they said, come on. So I said, all right. Jatar said, you act like, I thought you wanted to do this. You act like it's not even bothering you. It's not. I've done my part. You know, I like to just do my part and learn how to set back and let God do the rest and try to keep my dumb ass out of the way. Because if I'd have jumped in there and tried, I'd have did something wrong. I'd have went to the wrong room. I'd have said the wrong thing out of my mouth. I would have screwed something up. And I sat there, and I drank the coffee, and I was nervous down there. And God got it. It's going to be all right. Look, I am nothing but a special worker. I cannot do anything but give people what's right here in the book. I was sitting there, I said, I'm going to be so blessed that the room is not crowded. But it doesn't make a difference. It would make a difference if they were lined up across the wall, because I'm still going to be nervous, but I still have to stick with the eighth tradition. I'm going to go back to my story again. I have to go back to my story. If I got to leave a spot, I can't use diabetics no more. So if I got to use breakdowns and keep the spike in my arm and wrap it up so the next time I want to shoot some dope, it'll already be there. If I got to be able to share all the stuff that I did to myself, that I volunteered to do in active addiction, if I can freely share that stuff. Look, we was listening to tapes, and people, you know, you sit and you listen, and people can relate, and they going, yes, that's it, yes, right, and they talk how ashy they were, and how the thing was pimping them, and they had to get up and go get their shot, and la, 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 and every time they hit home, somebody say, yes. And I'm sitting there all fucked up because people talking about me. And my sponsor sitting in the back said, tell your own story, because you know they talking about us. But they say that's how we keep this thing straight. Could you imagine a professional eighth tradition person, a professional 1 through 12 tradition person, would I be all screwed up? I would be completely screwed up, because I would be holding on to every word. If I was a professional, I would be selling y'all some shit. You the guy I was talking about when he started smoking crack. He didn't know that he was going to smoke rice and some other stuff. I ain't smoke crack cocaine. First time I got a rock, I tried to melt it down to shoot it. I tried to dissolve it to shoot it. Of course, when I first shared that in the room of Narcotics Anonymous, the guy told me, "You should have called me because I would have taught you. I could have showed you how to do that." Right? But I'm talking, no, we can mess each other. If we become professionals at something, we're going to mess each other up. My wife did service for about 3 years in the area, and I was messed up. Because I had my turn to do that, but she was doing service, and I was messed up, and she was gone. I thought she was going to become a professional service worker. I did. I thought she was becoming a professional service worker. But the blessing was that sometimes in the evening, we could lay in bed after the day was over and do a tradition pamphlet. Before I made it here, I went to my home group on a Wednesday, and I don't usually make it because of my work schedule, and one of the guys was doing a tradition. He was doing the first tradition. And I was all up in my head about what I was going to do when I came here. How am I going to handle this eighth tradition? What exactly am I going to do? And then he started talking about a pamphlet that his sponsor gave him about 6 years ago. And when he got it, I got it. I got a copy of it. And I made copies of that same, it's a work pamphlet, just like a work step guide. And I took that same pamphlet, I gave it to all my sponsees. And he started talking about that pamphlet. I say, that's right. I don't have to create anything or change anything or come up with this elaborate speech or be this profound. A lady told me that in Baltimore. I said I wanted to be this profound Narcotics Anonymous speaker. And when I finished, she gave me a hug and said, "William, you are very profound." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, because you have the ability to be honest." And when I was sitting there praying, I was praying that God lend me an ear, not one of y'all, my own. Because as I talk about this stuff and as I read this stuff, as I become a service worker, right, sometimes it's not for you all, but I'm being a service worker for myself. See, God reminds me of some stuff that I've been through or some stuff that I've said or some stuff that I might do. God reminds me that after I do this or if I'm blessed with an opportunity to do it again, and since this is not my first time, to stay humble and not think that I have arrived. It gets a little difficult sometimes because I really, really do want to run some stuff. What time is this meeting over?
10.
At 10? Thank you. Wasn't that a good way to get out of this? Was that smooth? I'm gonna read one more thing about the eighth tradition. Look. Oh, here we go. The eighth tradition reminds us that our members need no professional credentials to be effective in carrying the NA message. Devastated. I came right here with a couple of college degrees. I thought I had arrived. You know, for my first 4 years, I think they called me a pseudo-intellect in my home group, because I thought I knew some shit. I could talk my way through it. I could talk my way through it, but I really didn't have a clue. And why they called me a pseudo-intellect is because not only, see, and this, again, this is the dangerous part of trying to be a professional. Not only did I not have a clue, but I didn't have a clue that I didn't have a clue. I thought, see, that was the worst part of being pseudo. I didn't know that I didn't know. I thought I had some information. Can you imagine? Here. It goes on in the book to talk about when we need people, we hire people. When you get sick, go to a doctor. Don't call. My sponsee better not call me and tell me, I got a headache. I think it's a migraine. Or my tooth hurt. The fuck you want me to Ernest say, where my knee? My knee is acting up now. Well, what are you going to do? He said, oh, I got a doctor's appointment Friday. Good. Because we need to get those type people. We do. I was amazed when the world was in Baltimore, right? And it was thousands and thousands and thousands of recovering addicts. And nothing was in the newspaper. They didn't have any pictures. They didn't have any names. They didn't have any. Nothing was in the newspaper for that weekend. That Monday, the newspaper blew up. Because we got service workers and public information that did their job. Now, we may even had to hire some professional people to make sure that that happened correctly so we wouldn't mess it up. They say sometimes it ain't even enough time for us to do stuff. That's why we have to hire other people, you know, because we'll try to make some time. We always had time. My shit, my best friend ain't never been on time for nothing. He tried to blame my wife because we was late getting down here. He ain't come. He was supposed to come. Well, he called my house 1 o'clock, didn't he? Say he'd be there in an hour. I think he came at 3:45. Yeah. Then we had to rush down here. But no. And I'm not, I always tell them, don't talk about other people. Talk about yourself. I ain't going to talk about you no more. I'm talking about me. The hit to that was, this is the kind of stuff that happened. This is the kind of stuff that happens around here. This is why we have to stay humble. This is why we have to go by the traditions. This is why the people that came before us did it a certain way, so we'll know how to do it. Please, don't do it my way. We have some literature here. We have a whole bunch of literature now. Hey, I don't know if it dawned on anybody, but this book here is the same color of that new working step guide. That is not a coincidence. And in closing, they said that this is for us, by us. Look in it. Your story is in these books. Trust me. It is it. The only ones of us that are not going to get this are those that are constitutionally incapable of telling the truth. The truth is located in this literature. I will give you my phone number after I get done. And if you think I'm lying, and if you look in the book and don't find it, call me. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thanks for sharing, man. Thank you, William. You did a great job. And our next speaker is a dear, dear, wonderful friend, ex-neighbor, I couldn't even begin to start because I'll cry. So I'm just going to give you Barbara.
Bye, Barbara.
Hi. My name's Barbara and I'm an addict. And I like the title, For Us, By Us. Makes me think of the Constitution, for the people, by the people, you know? I'm not a big speaker. I never wanted to be a professional speaker. That's not my forte. My forte is working with numbers. Not speaking about it. Not a lot to talk about. But there is, you know, this eighth tradition, it does tell me that it should remain, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. That means that, to me, that when I'm doing service work, I'm never going to be a professional service worker. I'm going to do it to keep me clean. That's why I do it. I don't do it for profit. I don't do it for fame, recognition, whatever. When I do it for humble reasons, I get my recovery out of it. That's what I do service for, is for my recovery. If I were one of those people, which there are some that want to do it for fame and to be a professional circuit speaker and whatever, I don't want their recovery, personally. That's me speaking. That's not the recovery I want. What it says to me in this tradition is that we do need to go to professionals when we need professional help. That even though the majority of the way we deal with the program is through the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, there are some issues that are not NA-related issues, you need to go outside the program and seek professional. And I do agree with that entirely. The great thing about this tradition and the other traditions in NA is that it forms a unity, that we are all the same. You know, I heard last night there are no big I's and little U's, you know. Was sharing with someone on the way here, we were talking about how it's like we're like a group of pencils with the rubber band around and we're all the same level and you can hold up the book with it, but if one were up here and one were down there, it would be all over the place. But we don't have our we won't have a base if we're all in different levels. And that means that the person that's come in here with 10 minutes clean has the same thing to speak about and share about and help another addict as someone who's got 20 years clean. You know, clean time does mean something in the fact that you've gone through the experiences clean and you've got some experience working the step, but the fact that we all need each other is the most important thing. We do need each other. I need that newcomer. When I start feeling like I don't want to talk to newcomers, I'm in a bad place when I get that attitude. I've had some experience recently. I go to a meeting regularly that's in a treatment center, and you give your phone number out a lot, but rarely do you get called. You know, that's the way it is, and that's another thing in NA, is you don't have to have it like, oh, well, they didn't call me, so... You know, if you see them again, it's like, it's just the way it is. It's their recovery is up to them whether they want to reach out and use those phone numbers. That was my choice when I came in, is I got phone numbers and whether I wanted to choose to use them or not. And I did choose to use them, and that's how I got recovery, was by asking others how they had done things, how they had worked the steps, how they worked the traditions. You know, of course, at first, the tradition wasn't the first thing on my mind. But like William said, you know, these things were written by people who came in ahead of us. And the reason they wrote these is they found that these worked. And us as addicts, we want to change everything to our way thinking that our way is the best, and I have that idea sometimes that I can fix things. If you would just do what I say, it will work out. You know, why don't you listen to me? That's my thing with my teenage daughter. If you would just do this and this, everything would be fine. But as addicts also, we don't listen to people. I never listen to anybody's ranting at me about telling me what to do. But if they show me how to do it, show me how they did it, I have more respect for that and can then take that into consideration when making a change in my life. I do know that there's a difference between service centers where they can employ special workers, where people are paid to do work. And the reason being is if they're doing that as their profession, they need to be able to support their family. You can't do service work and have that be your 8-hour-a-day job and expect to do that volunteer and then not be able to feed your family. You know, we can do it with as much of our free time as possible, and that would be service work. I think it would be very cool to work at a service center because you'd be in contact constantly with addicts, and that would be really a good thing. But for me, it's not what I choose to do as my profession. And there's only so many service centers. You know, I personally think we could use more service centers in the area. In our area, we have to go all the way to Baltimore to get literature or anything, which is great, though. It's a good drive. Last time I was there, I got my picture taken on the road there going through the light. City of Baltimore took our picture with a tag right there. They don't have those too much around Burtonsville. So I'm like, shit, that was some expensive chips. Because what happens at our area of service, I don't know about others' area of service, I only know with the one I've gone to, is they run out of things. So if you want something for your group, you will go the extra mile and go to the service center and pick it up. Because it's important to have white chips for people that are new. It means a lot. I know it meant a lot to me to get a chip. But I was, I'm so nervous of a person that when I was new, I would not go pick up a white chip because I didn't want people clapping for me or looking at me or anything. It's like, don't look at me. I didn't get one until my 30 day. So I think I got my white chip finally when I had about a year. I'm like, I don't have one of those. I like one, you know, because it says the welcome on it. And that's important. You know, that's why it's important to have white chips, is the welcome to the newcomer to NA, or the person that's relapsed and has come back into the fellowship. It's welcomed them back with open arms. And we can't forget that's what keeps us clean, is welcoming other people to help them recover, helps us recover. If it weren't for other addicts, my life would not be clean. I'm grateful I don't have to have a professional credential to be a member of NA, to be a sponsor or anything. And I could relate to William about wanting to be a professional sponsor. When I first got my first sponsee, I remember thinking I had to have all these things of knowledge to, you know, convey. I had to give it to the other person. It was like I just wanted to tell them everything and have them learn what I had done. And my first sponsee I got when I had a year clean, and I had not a whole lot to share at that point. I mean, I had something to share. We all have something to share with each other, but I wasn't as experienced in being a sponsor. I guess you get that by having a sponsee early. And I was grateful to that person. And then the second sponsee I got shortly thereafter, and I did that you've got to do it my way thing. I was so angry at this person because they would not accept the first step. They thought they took a first step, but their first step was that if they didn't go around Langley Park and the people that they lived with in Langley Park, then they wouldn't use drugs. And that was what they were powerless over, were these people. And I'm like, no, you can't go on to the second step. No, you may not. You may not pass go. So it was not a good thing. And I learned through doing that mistake to never do that again, because, you know, that's not a loving way to convey something. If someone's, you know, not doing something in a manner that I agree with, I can tell them that, but in a loving way, and then let them do it anyway if that's their choice. Because we all have to stub our toes, and, you know, and my way is not always the right way. There's other ways out there. That's something I learned. I'm not always right. That's something that's in the step in this book, which is our basic text, which is what came before this, is what this is based on. So I get a lot out of reading the literature, too. I don't know. This is a great convention. I'm glad to have been able to ask to speak here. I'm so grateful. What's really wild is the last time I spoke at a workshop at the convention, it was on the eighth step. So the eighth step and the eighth tradition. So it's right along in that. I'm grateful y'all came and got up early. I was thinking, I hope it's a little small room and only about 10 people. So we did pretty good. And I like the fact that they point out in this book the principles, the humility, prudence, anonymity, and integrity. That means I have to have prudence with this, being that I don't want to, you know, NA needs to be prudent and not spend a lot of money on getting special workers, whereas service workers could do the work, you know, rather than paid workers. That's why we do that. The good thing that happens with the service workers and the service centers are they are directly responsible to NA. There's a service committee that they report to. So it's not like they're just paid workers that do this and are not accountable to our fellowship, but they are directly accountable to our fellowship. Same as the CPRC, Board of Directors. You know, it may be a corporation that puts on this convention, but that's only because it has to be for legal purposes. But they're directly responsible to the regional, which is our home groups, our areas, and our region. And I'm grateful for the way that the NA structure has been set up. I'm grateful for the people that came ahead of me that had the wherewithal to get together and think of how this should be best, how we would best serve our fellow addicts. And with that, I'll say thanks for letting me share. And hope you have a great convention.
Thank you, Barbara. Very good job. Before we open the meeting up to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the microphone one at a time. Also, try to keep in mind there are other addicts who are waiting to share. So if anybody else would like to share on this tradition, you're more than welcome to come up.
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an addict.
Hey, Josh.
Not feeling so good this morning. Got to bed late last night, but it was a good thing. Down here with some close people, and people that I'm down here with, whether they have 2 years, 18 years, and the various clean time amounts that we have, what's really struck home for me is the involvement with service through the years. And my part in it was that I was attracted to that. And when you talked about being prudent and not wanting to spend the fellowship's money that we don't have to, when we have people right here in our fellowship that we can do it, you know, if we make the time. As my position is, I think there's a lot of people who come into the meetings and rob the meetings, you know, and don't give it back. And I'm just one of those ones that, you know, I give it back as much as I can. Because NA has never let me down. So it's my way of gratitude. And they say grateful addicts never use, but I've been grateful, and I had to get honest, and I had to change my clean date last week. It was very humbling. It was very humbling. But it's part of the honesty in this program. You know, and I'm just grateful to be here today. You know, I'm grateful that there are service boards and there are conventions and places like this to gather. You know, other than just meetings sometimes, because sometimes you just need another atmosphere. You know, because there's many atmospheres of recovery. And this is just one big one to get a lot of us together at the same time from different areas. And that's what I like about this fellowship. No matter where I'm from or no matter what room I sit in, I just feel at home. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
I wanted to say something because it just sort of struck me. I've been involved in this convention a little more than a year, and I think this tradition is really appropriate for that process because we've had 14, sometimes more, sometimes less, but the basic host committee is 14 people that have met either monthly or weekly over this past year plus to get this thing together. And it's been absolutely amazing that that many people can sit in a room that many times. You know, and at first it was like, well, when are we going to meet and how long and this and the other thing. And I was hearing all this stuff about how we're going to be there till midnight and we were going to be doing this and doing that. And I'm not a late night person, and I'm the secretary, and I'm not thinking, oh my God, what have I got myself into here, you know? But my experience with this has been that everybody did their job. They did their job well. They stayed on target. They stayed on task. They had timelines. They weren't professional about it. And, you know, some people are a little more into it than others. Some people are a little more go-getter than others. But we encouraged each other. There was only two occasions upon which there was any dissension in that room ever. And they were very minute. They didn't last long. And everybody rallied around everybody else. And to see that just shows that, you know, you put professionals in a room and you're going to get some, you know, everybody's like nipping at each other. They want this. They want that. And it's just been so amazing how this thing has come together because there wasn't any of that. You know, it was just teamwork. And it was teamwork because we all came from the same place. We all wanted the same thing to be accomplished here, which was to carry this message out to people that needed to hear what we had to share. And all we can share is our experience, strength, and hope, you know? And the list of what we have on workshops was compiled from last year. There was a survey put out, you know, what did you want in a meeting? And that's how we came up with topics and stuff, you know, and watching how they went through the process of picking speakers and, you know, watching how they went through the process of putting together the merchandise and the entertainment. And, you know, this was a new experience for me, and it's just been really fabulous to see that you could put this many addicts together in a room, and the ego just was totally gone, you know? I mean, I submitted things that didn't win, if you want to use that word, you know, and yet I can rally behind the person whose work was chosen because I've seen what they've put into that, you know, and I can encourage that. And I can tell you what, when I got here, I wouldn't have been like that, you know, so there's been some maturity in that. And I think that that's fabulous to see how that's come to pass, you know. And so I just wanted to share that because to me, that's what this tradition is all about, you know. We came here and we did this out of love for this fellowship and not because we were trying to be bold or, known or any of that stuff, you know. And I mean, I've seen conventions in the past where it wasn't like that, but that's okay too, you know. We do what we do for whatever purposes. It serves the bottom line purpose, which is to carry the addict, not to carry the addict, to carry the message to the addict, you know. And thank God that that was here when I got here, or I wouldn't be here right now, and most of us wouldn't either. So with that, I'll shut up. If anybody else wants to share, the mic is open.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm Susie, I'm an addict.
Hi, Susie.
Formerly known as the bitch with the book. These guys know I always have an opinion about stuff. Yes. And I do. And luckily, I have had a sponsor and other people in my recovery that have helped me base my opinions around the truth. You know, I didn't come in with them based around the truth. But somehow or another, I can't avoid it, you know, because of the goal that I have for the kind of person I want to be. And I've always, not always, first when I started understanding the traditions, I was like, cool, it's like a weapon. You know, I have control because I got the rules. I got the rules. I tell you, I'm the kind of person that drives me nuts if somebody's in a parking lot and they drive against the arrow. You know, it really burns my ass, you know, because that was my parking place and they cheated, you know. So I have felt the same way about service work. So I bring my personality with me. You know, they say it's principles before personalities, but I tell you one thing, I put the principle in front of my personality and I shove it. With all the personality I have, I'll take a principle and put it anywhere I want it to go. And, you know, that kind of defeats the whole purpose. As long as I can justify it. See, my dad was a Baptist preacher, so I can take anything out of context and make it mean anything. You know, I can scare the shit out of anybody for, you know, no reason except, you know, to get them to do what I want them to do. You know, faith out of fear. So I have issues with that, of course. And I really appreciated our speaker last night a lot. Anyway, but like with this thing, you know, for us, by us, I really like that. I've had a lot of service positions, some very, I've served in the very bowels of the service structure. Not the worst bowels of the service structure, but very close to it, because I believe that the home group is the highest level of service. And I believe that very strongly. And that any service that we do on any other level, we're getting lower and lower and lower because our responsibilities are getting bigger, because the people that we serve, the amount of people that we serve and that we're accountable to gets bigger. And I had some very good teachers when I was doing the service work. One of the things I'm good at is sharing things because, you know, I got a big mouth and I can read. And so, like, one day I was chairing the region and everything was just going crazy because of money. And, you know, I was just, like, losing it. So I shut the whole region down so I could go have a damn cigarette. And then I came back and I was, like, trying to deal with the personalities. And I had this one friend at the time and she's so nice and calm and peaceful. And she's like, they have the same interest at heart that you do. And I'm like, they're wrong, where at? You know? And this guy came up to me who I really, really respect. And he just leaned over and he whispered into my ear, Susie, how is this going to affect your life, this service meeting? And from that point on, I could put service work into perspective. And I didn't need to be in control. I needed to do my job as a chairperson. I needed to get the meeting under control, not the people. I needed to go with what my job was, the schedule, the agenda. And, you know, anyway, I've had people tell me I should be a professional at, like, organizing stuff, because I like to do that, and I really like to tell other people what to do. I mean, I like to delegate. And But, you know, I had the opportunity to do it through my job, but I didn't, you know, follow through on that. I had a nervous breakdown instead because of the service work. But anyway, the most important thing for me to always remember, and the only time that I have, like, the most major conflict in my gut when I'm doing service work is when I forget why I'm doing the service work, you know? And William and Barbara both touched on that, you know? I learned early in my recovery is to ask myself, why am I here? Why am I at this meeting, you know? It's not because of that guy over there. I've known him for 14 years. He hasn't called me yet, you know? That's not why I'm here. Maybe that's why I went to that meeting, okay? But that's not why I'm sitting here, okay? So, anyway, I just think it's real important. There was a person and some people when I first moved back up here. I got clean down North Carolina. And when I first moved back up, and down there, the programs were very, very pure, you know, very pure. So I had issues. The tradition in our area is if when you celebrate, you get somebody to speak for you. But when I celebrated my first time up here, I didn't know anybody with a pure NA message, so I spoke for myself. So anyway, I don't know what that the point is at for, but anyway, I guess I felt alone. But then I started, like, watching people and doing service work, and so then I started, like, worshiping these people with, like, 5 years, you know, it was so much time. And they had, like, followings of people that did what they said, and they had, like, these little groups that were following them around and doing stuff, and they spoke, and they were so eloquent when they spoke, and everybody loved it, and people were, like, singing and swaying back and forth in their seats and all this kind of stuff. And the more I got to be involved in that, the more I was like, man, this is just like my Southern Baptist church. You know, we used to go visit those Pentecostal places, but I have big issues with that. I don't want that. You know, I want the NA message. And so anyway, then I started watching these people and their personal lives. And this one man in particular, I thought of him as a powerful person in Narcotics Anonymous. He had service commitments in the deepest, darkest bowels. But he didn't know that. You know, he thought he was, like, up there. And people treated him like he was up there. You know, it's not always the person's fault that's doing the service work. A lot of times it's our fault for the way that we treat people, like their shit don't stink, and so eventually they quit smelling it. But anyway, so I just really liked this guy, and I wanted to be like him and all this kind of stuff. And then I found out that he was married and he was fucking around with his wife. You know, and that, like, pulled everything out from underneath me. And then the walk became as important to me as the talk. And that's what I think the Eighth Tradition is about. For us, by us. I can't serve you if I don't know that's what I'm doing. You know? And if I'm a professional person and I work at a service center, you know, I think it was real important, the point that was brought up about those people are not like, it's not like 7-Eleven where you go get what you need. The people that work there are still accountable to their region or whoever is responsible for that service center. So when we say we're never alone in NA, we're never alone, especially when we do service work, but sometimes that's the hardest time to remember. And I know I felt that way. So, anyway, ha-ha, there's some opinions. Thanks.
Well, thanks for sharing. We still have about 5 more minutes if anybody else wants to share. You look like you just really want to get up out of that chair. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't be shy. Are you shy? Oh, we got somebody. Come on.
Stomach wants to share.
Hi, my name is Alan. I'm an addict.
Yeah.
It's amazing that I actually got up. I have a hard time even raising my hand at my meetings because I have a hard time sharing, but I guess the best way to get through stuff is to actually do it and walk through it. The eighth tradition to me is really important. Thank God that we don't have professionals in NA, and that, when I walked in here 29 months ago, if the scenario would have been that there was a whole bunch of people with like white coats and no pads and stuff like that, and I told my story and they're like flipping through pages trying to see how they could help me, that wouldn't have worked for me, you know? That's why the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is because it works that way, because, you know, you can identify, you know, experience and, just going through the same things that I went through. The scenario was that I shared my story, and people came up to me and told me, listen, I did the same things, and this is what I do today to stay clean, you know? And, I'm not bashing, like, detoxes and rehabs or anything like that, because there are, a lot of those places are stepping stones to NA. But, I went to an outpatient thing before making my first NA meeting, and, like I said, the person that was in charge of the groups and stuff, they had never used, and, it wasn't about, to me, it was about money, because, when I left that outpatient thing, like 3 weeks later, they called me up, and they didn't call me up to ask me how I was doing or anything like that. They called me up to see if I had the $150 that I still owed them. They didn't ask me, how are you doing? It's been 3 weeks since you left. Have you picked up or anything like that? They wanted to know about their money. So basically, I just wanted to express my gratitude for the way NA does work. And thank you guys for sharing, and thank you for putting on such a great convention. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing. I believe somebody out there has just for today.